All right, good afternoon, everyone. It's Wednesday, the day after Super Tuesday. Congratulations, Joe Biden, and your great win. Bernie Sanders, it's a sad day for you. Elizabeth Warren, it's time to pack it up and go home. You're done.
Bloomberg already did.
Right. If Bloomberg's done it, yeah, then it's time for you to do the same. We've got a representative in the House. Who knows how to pronounce her name? Representative Alexandria Cortez, but what's the O? Ocasio? It's normally abbreviated AOC. She is the representative from New York. She's the one that gave us the Green Deal. You remember that about a year ago? She's quite the character. And she became a theologian in the House of Representatives just the other day. We want you to listen to her as she goes on and on. Then we'll read this short article and we'll talk about what she has to say.
Thank you, Chairman. I am experiencing this hearing and I'm struggling whether I respond or launch into this question as a legislator or from the perspective of a woman of faith, because I cannot, it's very difficult to sit here and listen to arguments in the long history of this country of using scripture and weaponizing and abusing scripture to justify bigotry. White supremacists have done it. Those who justified slavery did it. Those who fought against integration did it. And we're seeing it today. And sometimes, especially in this body, I feel as though if Christ himself walked through these doors and said what he said thousands of years ago, that we should love our neighbor and our enemy, that we should welcome the stranger, fight for the least of us, that it is easier for a rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into a kingdom of heaven, he would be maligned as a radical and rejected from these doors. And I know, and it is part of my faith, that all people are holy and all people are sacred unconditionally. And that is what makes faith sometimes, that's what prompts us to transform, because it is unconditional. It's not about that it is up to us to love parts of people. We love all people. There is nothing holy about rejecting medical care of people, no matter who they are on the grounds of what their identity is. There is nothing holy about turning someone away from a hospital. There's nothing holy about rejecting a child from a family. There's nothing holy about writing discrimination into the law. And I am tired of communities of being of faith being weaponized and being mischaracterized, because the only time religious freedom is invoked is in the name of bigotry and discrimination. I'm tired of it. My faith commands me to treat Mr. Minton as holy because he is sacred. Because his life is sacred, because you are not to be denied anything that I am entitled to, that we are equal in the eyes of the law, and we are equal in my faith in the eyes of the world. And so I just have to get that out ahead of time, because it is deeply disturbing. Not just what is happening here, but what this administration is advancing is the idea that religion and faith is about exclusion. It is not up to us. It is not up to us to deny medical care. It is up to us to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, to protect children, and to love all people as ourselves.
All right, so you just heard her in her own words. She was in the House of Representatives sitting at her little cubicle preaching to us as a woman of faith. So let's see what Anthony has to say. This is the Washington Examiner. And by the way, that little speech is available on YouTube if you want to watch it yourself. Let's see. Representative ACOC Cortez said, religious liberty advocates are weaponizing the Bible to justify bigotry, much like those who justified slavery did. During a Thursday House Oversight Committee hearing about the Trump administration's religious liberty assault on LGBTQ rights, Cortez said people using religious exemptions to exclude gay and transgender citizens remind her of those who weaponize scripture to enable slavery, white supremacy, and racism. It's very difficult to sit here and listen to arguments in the long history of the country of using scripture, weaponizing, abusing scripture to justify bigotry, the New York Democrat said to the panelists present at the committee hearing. White supremacists have done it, who justified slavery, those who fought against integration did it, and we're seeing it today. Freshman Congresswoman, a Catholic, said she believes the Christian faith compels people to treat others as if they are holy. All right, do we want to keep on, or is that enough to get us started?
Probably enough to get us started.
She seems to be getting it mixed up between being an image bearer and being a child of God, and kind of putting them both together.
What's the difference? Because there's lots of people that have that. So explain to us the difference.
Well, we're all created in the image of God, meaning the communicable attributes of God of kindness, love, joy, creativity. Those are some attributes that we share in His image. Like Adam was given and clearly did before and after the fall. And then being a child of God is a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for my sin, and I've repented and believed on Him for righteousness. So no, not everyone is holy. Not everyone is a believer.
So she's wrong? She's wrong?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm going to do what she did. I'm going to take her out of context, just like she took the scripture out of context, because I'm offended by that. And I'm going to say that she did say one thing right, and that is, it's not up to us. And really, that's the foundational thing that all humans wrestle with. Because what you just said is rejected by many people, Nate, because they can't believe that a God who created all people and have this image stamp on them of their creator would say that some people are acceptable and others are not. Mm-hmm. And especially depending on how extreme your theology is in regards to that.
Well, we could easily go to Romans 9 or Ephesians 2, and Paul's clearly going to separate the two.
But she's not totally off base.
In what sense?
The Bible has been used to justify racism.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was used by preachers of the South in pre-Civil War. I myself, in a Southern Baptist church, was taught that we should be segregated from African American communities. We should have all white churches, all black churches. There should be no other ethnicity in our church. It was taught by my Sunday school teacher. It was taught by my preacher from the time I was 4, 5, 6 years old. I definitively remember this. I remember I'm born in a deep-rooted South Arkansas type of environment, country environment. They used the curse on Ham from Noah, and that he would serve his brothers. They used the conflict that when Moses had for marrying the Ethiopian woman, because we all know they're dark-skinned people, and therefore it wasn't right. That's why Mary and them stood up against it. It was the misuse of the Bible in the context. And we cannot, and she does not bring it up, but we cannot forget the influence that Darwin had and why evolution was first embraced by the church in the beginning when it first came out. Was by the Southern American church. They embraced Darwinism because it gave them a license to own other people. And the Bible was used to justify slavery and racism, and I'm talking 1970s.
And that's why it's very difficult. What we must first of all, we must just avoid just repeating something someone else said, and then these blanket statements without thought. Because, yes, you're right. There is some truth to what she's saying in the fact that, and she wants to use this term, weaponize the scripture.
And I think she's off base as much as those who taught me those things when I was young are off base.
Right.
And anti-biblical.
But the reality is, we must learn and we must talk about these things more intelligently. We must learn to talk about man's sin. Because a big part of this that's always left out in these discussions is the fact that, you know, the reason that these people, quote-unquote, weaponized the scripture wasn't because there's something wrong with the scripture. There was something wrong with the heart of men who did it.
Correct.
That is their sin to own. And the reality is that even in the English Revolution, even in the French Revolution, even in American Revolution, scripture was twisted and contorted to make, or God, things were done in God's name to try to give them some viability. But the problem is, her statements don't make any sense when you know what the scripture says, because her statement violates the own scripture. She's quoting scripture and it's violating other scripture that we know. So it's wrong. The way she's using it, she's doing something wrong. She's misunderstanding. So taking one truth and trying to make a blanket statement and making another false statement is no good here. But this is what we're doing just continually in America right now, because we're unwilling to recognize the elephant in the room, which is men are sinners. And most of the problem we have in our society, in our governments, is because people are selfish. At their basic nature. So I have a great issue with her statement that all people are holy. I would say, no, the scripture does not teach that all people are holy.
If that were the case, God would not have told the Israelites, hey, you need to be holy.
And she's a Democrat,
because they already would have been.
Yes,
Democrat, correct. So just think about the irony she's talking about. The party on record of being pro-choice. You know, you want to talk to me about the importance of people's lives?
She said all people are sacred.
Right. You know, so, I mean, just there, once again, we see this really bad logic that the liberals have to cling to, because it makes no sense. And they do it emotionally. They claim that we're the emotional ones, that we're the mystical ones, but they're doing it more emotionally and mystical than we are, because we say, no, these things are grounded in empirical truth. And the empirical truth comes from the Word of God. Therefore, well, how do you reckon? Well, the man that steals a person, he's sinning. The Bible doesn't condone that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, we find that back in Scripture as well, that, you know, false teachers were present during Bible days, or, you know, in the Old Testament, the New Testament, as well as today. And often they use truths that everyone can agree upon, and then they slip in, you know, opinion or mistruth or whatever to go along with it, and just hope, well, people are dumb enough, they won't really hear that, and they'll just go along and follow that. Because, you know, I said something that was true, and now they'll buy into the rest of it. So, you know, whether it was somebody from the 70s or prior, okay, sure. You know, obviously there's truth in that, but to then elevate those that did that to the same level as those that are trying to be true and faithful to Scripture, and just lump them all in the same ball and throw them out, you know, yeah. You know, there's issues there.
And I'm not going to pretend like our side doesn't play by the same tactics. We do. You know, when we say that all Mexicans are bad hombres, that's not a factual statement.
No, and I mean, that's what I'm saying. We shouldn't say that. I mean, right. That shouldn't be said.
We should talk about the way that immigration is just not sustainable. Why do we have to run to these things that don't really address the issue? The issue with immigration isn't really that we're just trying to keep out a bunch of bad people. The issue is, you know, who's going to say when's enough enough? We can't even pay the the national debt we have now. We're
going to and truth be told, if we didn't have so many government programs, immigration wouldn't be as big a deal.
Right.
Because if taxpayers weren't having to fund for all those things, I mean, if these people were literally like in the 1600s, hopping on a ship, moving over, and they're going to build their own houses and they're going to start their own plots of land, then it wouldn't be an issue. And so it's what it is. It's just a surface level issue that, because it's so deeply connected, With the others, that it becomes an issue, and so we're dealing with the surface issue because we can't deal with these government-funded programs. One thing I thought that was interesting is what she uses as her arguing points is the bigotry is, you know, the idea of people were denied because of their skin color or because of whatever the case might have been, and now it's the LGBTQ movement. And so it's, well, if you were born a different skin color, you were mistreated at the hands of people who use scripture. And if you were born from a different ethnicity, then you were, you know, mistreated because of people's use of their skin, of misuse of scripture. And now, if you are LGBTQ, then you're being mistreated by those who are weaponizing scripture. And so she's lumping this into, you're born this way. Which we can't ignore the fact that, okay, no one can control their skin color. No one can control their city or state or country of origin. They cannot control that. This is a choice. And Jonathan, you already addressed it. It's a sinful choice. That their hearts are sinners. That they are depraved. And they're not holy. They are made in the image of God, but they're choosing to fulfill the lust of their flesh. And now they're making these choices and saying, I deserve the same thing as someone else because you guys are just misusing scripture.
Is somebody promoting today to not provide medical care?
Yes. If I am a male and I want the full-blown surgery to become a female, you should be paying for it, Mr. Government. That's what they're talking about. It's not a cold. It's not a broken bone. It's not you had a heart attack and we're turning you away. It is such a misrepresentation of the truth. Because there's no hospital in the city of Fayetteville that turns anyone away when you show up in an ambulance from a 911 call or a car accident or anything like that.
Selective procedures.
It's the selective procedures that are being jammed down out there. And the real issue is that religious hospitals like Catholic hospitals, Baptist hospitals are saying you can't make us do things that are against our doctor's conscience. And so the current administration is trying to put a law through the legislation that will allow those medical treatment facilities to set up rules to guard the conscience of our doctors who don't want to be cutting a penis off and crafting something that wasn't ever intended on being there.
It's the same narrative as what Hobby Lobby dealt with.
It's the same. I mean, they can't, of course it is. You can't force a doctor currently to perform an abortion.
Well, what we're going to do is they're going to retire. They're going to resign. They're going to go out of the field. That's what they're going to do. And we need doctors right now.
And Al Mohler spoke about that in one of his briefings a while ago, that they're just trying to make it so difficult for anybody with a conscience to do any professional type of work that we can insert our people who think like us into those fields.
Well, like she said, white supremacists have done it. Those who justified slavery did it. Those who fought against... She makes it sound like there's this giant group of people doing it. Those is... It's a pronoun, okay? And it's referring back to who? The white supremacist. It's not everyone. It's not every religious person. It's those who have sinned with the sin of white supremacy. Okay?
Didn't she allude that it's continuing today?
Yes. She's making this extension. She's doing the very thing in her own speech that she's accusing them of doing.
Well, and that's what happens because just think about, she talked about, you know, she listed a whole bunch of things, and on the list was protecting children, you know? And that's like a trump card.
Yep.
I mean, because who doesn't believe in protecting children, right? Well, let's talk about that. Miss Liberal.
She'd be a leftist. She's even farther than
you. Yeah.
You know, as I was looking out on Monday morning, we had chapel.
Mm-hmm.
We had chapel, and we had, what is it, 200, 300? I don't know. It looked pretty
It's
much.
Almost 200.
200 high school, you know, from
middle school
to high school students standing there. And, you know, we're doing what we're always trying to do, which is to engage them to sing or do anything or whatever, and they're just standing there. And, you know, and I was just thinking about it, and it was just mulling over my mind, and I was thinking, you know, there is a marked difference when we have all the their parents in the room. Their parents are singing and participating and excited about it. And so we're asking ourselves, like, are we doing the wrong songs? Do we have the wrong style? Are we in the wrong culture? How do we grab these hearts? And then I went home and I was thinking about it. And then I told my wife, I said, you know, here's one of the things. Most of those students, probably most of those students, have seen more explicit stuff on the internet than we would even watch in a TV show. They've seen it with their own eyes. They are not impressed by any bells or whistles you can give. You know, those young men that are sitting out there, they don't have to imagine like I did what the female form is all about. Mm-mm. They have seen it in living color on video, probably most of them. We're living in a day and age where that is the heart we're trying to reach, right? Okay, so stay with me, because here I've got what I'm always trying to do is, well, you know, it's not that they're not saved. You know, I want to put them in. It's not that they're not saved. It, you know, we're just not doing the right songs or whatever. But what I thought about was this. The reality is that when people who are really converted, like old people who are really older people who are really converted, love Jesus, they do their best to participate. You know, I do that. And I go some places where culturally it's hard. I don't know the song. It's not my style. But my heart wants to participate in it, right? But the thing is that younger people, even if they are possibly converted, that I would say, I'm going to submit that they're worldly. And the thing is that even this idea, these ideas that she just listed off, are right in that packet, the same packet that they see every day and that they're listening to every day. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is it's really a form of child abuse, because what they've done is they've turned their minds and their hearts against the God of heaven. And we know that there's nothing more dangerous than losing your soul. We act like there's all kinds of things that are worse than that. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, because what I see, and when I go to the airport and when I go out and see a baseball game or something and you see large masses of humanity, you know, your heart is broken because you're going, how many of these people are going to an eternity of hell? You know, and you're wondering about those things. But the reality is, in this case, young people, younger and younger and younger, are being told things like what she said, which is, you're not supposed to be denied anything that you're entitled to.
Right.
Wrong. That's what we call a lie. According to the Word of God, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feel like a girl, then you should be able to change your anatomy to match the way you feel. Wrong. Mm-hmm. That's a lie.
Right.
But it is now being the accepted way of thinking. And if you think outside of that box, then you're going to be, quote unquote, living on the wrong side of history.
Right.
But what we're not very good at as Christians.
You're one of those.
Yes. What we're not good at is we're not good at seeing this as a battlefield and saying, you know what, we're going to work so hard to train our students to identify wrong ways of thinking that they're going to actually go out and be a force for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, yeah, but they want that would require that they want to do that.
Right. And what my contention is, people of that age group, I don't know if it's always been this way, but it's always been this way since I've been alive. People of that age group are what I'm going to call worldly, which is mean they're concerned with the things of this world. They don't view eternity. I mean, some do, but they're the anomalies. They're the few. But most of them care what their friends think. They don't want to think a different way than what the common cultural way of thinking is. I don't even want to listen to different music than what... I don't even want to wear the clothes that people aren't wearing.
Right.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, we'd go down and shop at the thrift store, and I hated it. Mom, these jeans are like... Nobody wears these. Right. You know, and so, like, you're concerned with the world. And obviously the message is when you grow up, you don't worry about worldly things anymore. And so I would contend that this is child abuse.
What is child abuse?
Damaging a child's mind to be just think like a rebel against God.
Well, and that you deserve whatever it is you want. If you want it, you deserve it. Okay. And there is no telling, there is no using the N-word and telling a child no.
Right. Okay, but let's go back to what she's doing.
Let's do it.
She's lumping together a lot of small pieces into a menagerie of twisted truth. Yes, racism existed. Yes, at some point, those who misused the Bible did, in fact, justify with it. Okay, yes, it is unholy to not care for a sick person and reject them from the hospital. The Good Samaritan surely teaches us that.
Sure.
It is unholy to reject children from families because they come from a certain family, that type of thing. We get all that. The problem is that she's not bringing out, like you said, Pastor, the true nature of what's being challenged. It's not emergency medical care for a heart attack. It's not they fell out. She's bringing in the child piece is the immigration that we're not taking these children. If you won't take the adults, at least take the children of the immigrants. It is kind of the real underlying thing that she's trying to push in this lump sum gathering of things. And it really goes back to Hoover and FDR. Hoover was heavily criticized for allowing us to go as deep as we did into the Great Depression. The reason why he did so was he would not do government funding to stay or impede the recession and depression process.
Free market.
In the free market process.
Yeah.
FDR right, did. That's why Hoover lost the election. Mm-hmm. Hoover believed that those things within the government should not be involved in the relief of the poor. The church should be. Human organizations should be.
But not
families should be, but not the government. What's happening is we have Napoleon's statement, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, at play here. And the government wants to rock the cradle and rule the world. That's why they're training the children the way they're training them. That's why they're giving these half-truths out to the people. And what we really have is, really what we have to ask AOC is, yes, you have some points of correction if you hold them in the proper context. You're not giving us the full context of what's going on. You're playing to our heartstrings, and we around here aren't going to buy it. The truth is should the government be involved in this? Let's really ask. Trump has the power to do what he does, and in many ways we're glad that he is doing it. He's stemming immigration. He can run and say, you know, this person, that person, and are they viable to our society? That's because of the economic sustainability. Do we have the money to economically sustain this? No, we don't even have the money to do what we're doing now. We're bankrupt. We just don't act like it.
She doesn't think we are.
No, she does not think we are.
No.
Because we're going to borrow more money. We're going to do Bernie Sanders things. And by the way, Nikita Khrushchev, if you want to go out and check it out, Nikita Khrushchev said, we don't have to actually fight a war with America to bring them to communism. All we have to do is surround them and soft sell them socialism until they fall like a ripe fruit into our lap. And we're one good caucus away from a Bernie Sanders taking us there. So I'm glad America voted for Biden last night. I can't believe I just said that.
I walked in the classroom and I wrote down, there is hope. That's what I wrote down on the dry erase board.
Not that I want, and I'm not a fan of our current president because he does so many things that are just, it grates against me as a Christian. But let's go back. That's what we got to ask, Pastor. Is it our responsibility around this table to care for the relief of the poor? Well, it must be. We have an Uber food drive. Is it our responsibility, and should we be given the freedom to pick and choose who we decide to lend our support to? And then, like you said, now take the doctor in the professional environment. Should he be allowed to operate within his faith because he joined a hospital that's built upon his
right,
faith?
Right, and that's what she's not acknowledging. Is that we have an entire segment of our medical community that is faith-based. Do you want to eliminate faith-based medical care? And the answer is yes, they do. They absolutely want to strip all that, take it under the big umbrella of government, and convince us that everything that we put our hands on, So just, if you're in the Veterans Administration, ask yourself, do you want the entire VA system running everything? Because that's the direction that we would go to.
They say they want it, but they really don't. Because when they're the ones that are being dealt that way, then they're not going to like it anymore.
Well, according to her,
well, they're not going to be.
Those people's faith is not the faith that the Bible produces, or Jesus, because she makes statement Jesus would walk in and just be like, what?
She's so intolerant. He would be maligned.
She's so intolerant because she doesn't allow that I would have a faith that's different in belief than
this.
Well,
your unacceptance for these types of people then causes her.
Well, the irony is that her own Catholic Church, Nate, her own Catholic Church is not about this.
Yeah, she said this whole, I jotted it down, but the whole, we're treating religion as a means of exclusion. I'm like, you can't be Catholic because there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church according to the Catholic Church.
She doesn't treat the Catholics like she treats America.
She's not a Catholic.
She's not.
Well, she's not a Catholic.
She was baptized as an infant, and so that's her claim to fame.
She's a nominal Catholic who's now...
Like our president's a Presbyterian.
We would say she's in the camp that America can do no right. Like, there's no making America better. We have to basically dismantle everything from the very beginning. But then with the Catholics, with their sacraments, with the Crusades, like, she's got plenty of material there to dismantle the Catholic Church, but she's going to leave that alone. She doesn't do to the Catholic Church what she does to America.
The fallacy of the liberal argument. Because if you're going to make this argument, then you're going to have to say, well, actually, yeah, I don't really follow my faith. Well, then your argument's over. Let's stop talking.
Mm-hmm. But misrepresentation has been around forever. Sure. FDR used pictures of people in the Appalachian Mountains to say that they were Tennessee River Valley people to get the dams TVA, built.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, we've been dealing with this for almost 100 years now. And we think about it. I mean, what, 1930s?
Well, Charles Stewart in the English Revolution claimed God was, you know, behind his right to, you know, everything he wanted. You know.
And Brian, what went through my mind, you know, you were talking, is how much of Romans chapter 1 comes into play in this?
Oh, yeah.
The idea of he gave them over to depraved affections. He gave them over to the unnatural affections where their men burned in lust for each other. The women left burned in lust for each other. Men left the natural use of the woman. They received in their flesh the just recompense of their error. And then he says the next step is he turns them over to a reprobate mind or a mind void of understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And Jonathan, how much of it is God turning our society over to that point that we're battling so hard that they really believe this stuff? Mm-hmm. Because they're almost blinded to the point that they can't see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an indicative of God's hand moving us to his final judgment.
And I
find that so hard because I want to fight against it because I feel called to fight against it. But in the same essence, not to sound fatalistic, I'm like, how much of it's still
going to... Even so, come Lord Jesus.
Yeah, how much of it's still going to happen?
Yeah. And what I find particularly concerning to me or makes my heart heavy is the fact that how the parents are so disconnected from what their children actually think. And they think, oh, my kid doesn't think like that.
Yeah, I had that conversation with a
oh, my kid doesn't think that same-sex marriage is okay.
Yeah, they do.
You know, my kid doesn't think that, you know, listening to music with the F word in it and the B word in it's okay.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I talked to a family recently, and they are convinced that the close friendship that their child has with a struggling identity child
is good?
Is because their child is being a good friend trying to bring them away from their struggle. And I said, no, I've heard your child speak. Your child is being corrupted and is being pulled down by the other.
Not mine.
Yep, that's...
And it was hard for them to comprehend that that's what was taking place.
By the way, this is one of your representatives, Mr. New Yorker. That's who she is. I mean, she's a Democrat. This is the new Democratic Party. And this is what makes it so hard to speak to politics Because she's right about the racial discrimination.
Yes.
And then by extension, she's turning that into a morality issue. And that's where we would draw the line.
Yeah.
You're born black. You're born brown. You're born white. Okay?
Male, female.
Right. You're born male, female. The issue is, are these behaviors immoral? And the church is all over the map on that.
But yet, in the same essence, to put it on record, I don't think there's a man at this table would say that the homosexual shouldn't have medical care if he is dying of a heart attack.
Of course not. Where are they discriminated? Tell me where they're discriminated.
Yeah.
Tell me the discrimination right now that they...
But we disagree with a medical doctor being forced to perform an operation he doesn't want to perform.
Exactly. How is that not a reasonable position that nearly anybody in the Christian church could not get behind? I don't care whether you're white or black, Democrat or Republican. Do you really want medical institutions to be forced to do procedures against the conscience of the doctor? Do you really want to get there?
And you know, that's not even, you know, I mentioned child abuse a little bit before, but that's abuse to that doctor.
Of course it is.
That's to me, you know, my son has to deal with putting up with the lifestyles of those around him at work, and he's told, you've got to sit there and listen to this. He can't make a complaint, you know, because if he would complain, he would be brought up on charges of being anti-gay and all
they were
of this.
Doing an investigation.
But the reverse is not the same. He can't say, I don't want to hear about this stuff anymore. But daily he's being abused by those people who are just in your face, in your face, in your face.
Yeah.
And that's how she is right here.
And I think they don't understand to the what level that we believe the righteousness in all of a holy God. Because they just think that we're just more uppity than them. You know, we're just better than them. We think we're better than them. That's not it at all.
You not accepting is unacceptable.
Yeah, we believe in a holy God and we believe in his holy commands. And that's why when she said, if Christ came in this room right now, let him come.
It's the eradication of a free market that creates the condition for this to happen. It, by socialized health care, they become the payers of the doctors.
Yeah.
And therefore, if you want to have your job, you have to do what you're told. In many essence, Pastor, you and I have experienced that, not to this level of degree, but we lived in an environment like that for many years, you more than I did, in the military, where we didn't really have a lot of democracy.
No, you don't have a democracy. You take the doctor that they assign you. You get the medical care that they give you.
And if they screw up, oops.
Then you move forward with it.
Yeah, and we...
America doesn't want socialized medicine. You don't want that.
The taxpayer does not. The person who's not contributing to society, they're the ones that want it.
And it started, they won't want it when it comes. And then they'll realize, like Denmark and Sweden, that they'll want the private sector with schooling and health care, and then your elites will then go to that.
You're still going to have it. The rich will have a free market. Mm-hmm. That'll be the bottom line. The rich will have a free market. You're right.
You have Sanders saying, I'm not talking about Venezuela, I'm talking about Denmark, and then you're going, yeah, but they have a private sector. They're not full out like Cuba was. They got 1/5 of their population going to private everything.
I told my students today, and we have 2 Chinese students in there, and I told my students that the irony of the fact that China is embracing capitalism at an all-time rate, and America is embracing socialism. We're literally
flopping. Trading rules.
Yep. We're trading, and they are going to become the global superpower.
All their trash items will say "Made in America."
It'll snap off.
Oh, this is going to break in a couple Americans. Days. It was made in America.
more billionaires are being created in China globally than any other country in the world right now. China, because they are setting aside this socialism and moving towards a free market, and we are doing everything we can to get away from it.
And I would, if you really want to read on this, and it's nothing religious in it, in and of itself, Thomas Friedman wrote The World is Flat 2.0. And it is a brief look at the modern globalizational movement from an economic standpoint. And he starts with the 10 flatteners that flatten the world and put us on a level playing field. And the very first one was 11-9. Not 9-11, but 11-9. 11-9 is the day the Berlin Wall was cracked. And he said when that happened, 50 years of communism, taking the talent and bottling it up was like shaking a champagne bottle for 50 years and then all of a sudden just slicing the cork off of it and watching it explode onto the world and the competition that came out of that Soviet bloc. And now we're seeing the effect of it with China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, consider how and who you vote for. Appreciate you listening. You have a very good day.